This is the day that we use to acknowledge the Palm, or we call it Palm Sunday, where Christ enters this great city called Jerusalem. So with the fact that the following week, obviously, we explore the event of Jesus Christ dying and resurrecting occurs, there is this triumphal entry to Jerusalem that we want to look at. So this is where we start our message. I want to start by just reading the scripture. So I'll just start reading for you. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her loose with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will loose them." And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitudes said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth." And this is where I get the title, "The King's Entry." Now, just to give you a little background on what was going on at this particular time, we have a lot of unrest going on at this particular time. We have the Jews and the high priests that are in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is this huge, great city where there were a lot of Roman officials, there were a lot of high priests, and the main synagogue for the Jews was in Jerusalem. And there was a lot of unrest, political unrest at that time, because of the fact that you had the Jews were tired of being underneath the jurisdiction or the rule and governance of the Roman Empire. And the Jews had this glorious and this great history that they hung on to, which was that Moses and the stories of Moses and the story of how that they had David and he was a great king, and they had a history of all these great kings that they all had, and history of all these great battles that they won. And they were at a point where they were tired and fed up of being underneath the Roman rule. So there was a lot of tension building up. Especially there was a lot of rebellious Jews that wanted to overthrow the Romans, and that caused a lot of rest. So they had always been waiting for this Messiah or this king to come to overthrow the Roman Empire and the Roman rule. So here's Jesus coming in at the height of this tension. So, and at this particular time as well, Jesus's popularity is growing exponentially. The stories of his exploits in healing people, in giving deliverance, in saving people, making the blind to see, and healing the sick, was gathering so much ground. So in fact, the word was going out, and he was meeting his the stories that were going on around him, and all the factual events that he had taken part in. So by the time he gets to Jerusalem, they had already almost perceived him as the guy that's coming to save us from the Romans and the Roman rule. So we here we start off the story, and this is where I start off the message, and this is where we start the story, where he goes out to ask his disciples to get a colt, to get a donkey and a colt. Now, a colt is a male horse, no more than 4 years of age. The donkey and the colt were young and had no experience. Now, if we go back to the reference of that it said that the scripture was actually fulfilling when he rode the donkey in, it uses the word foal. Now, a foal is a donkey that is, I think, is no more than 1 year old. So we have a colt, which is a male horse, which is no more than 4 years old. So we have a four-year-old male horse, and we have a donkey that is around 1-2. Now, Christ is asking these men for these young, tied up donkeys. Now, it kind of started to cause me to think that we can be in that. I think Sam spoke about this last week. When you think about yourself and you put these limitations on whom you are based on what others think of you. Now, these animals were young. And sometimes we can have that impression of ourselves. I know I definitely did. I remember Pastor Dennis called me and a few others. This was years ago when I was just coming out of teenage years. And he had sat me and a few others down and he said, I want you to run or start a youth ministry. And I was sat on the table thinking, I don't know how that works. I have no experience in this. And the thing is, what made me say I had no experience with this was because the two other people he called had experience with working with youth. And they had education. I had no education, no experience. I wasn't quite sure why he was even asking me, but I kind of did understand, because what I did have, and this is what I said in the meeting, Pastor, I have no experience. I don't think I'm capable of doing this, but what I do have is what I'll give, and what I have is the word. That's all I have. And lo and behold, years later, I was still in the ministry, working with the youth. And God gave me and the youth grow from those situations. So sometimes we can look at just as the donkey was only 2 years or had no experience, and Christ is calling us. He says, I had need for you. And this is why I titled this slide, the Lord has need of them. In the same way, the Lord has need of you. You may not have the experience. You may not have the knowledge. But Christ is calling you because he has need of you. Sam was saying last week that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And this is a perfect example where the horse and the donkey were not qualified according to their age to be used. Understand that God is out here calling the unqualified. Now, the donkey and colt were tied up and not looked at as useful. And you tend to tie up things or tie up an animal. They tied up the animal because they wanted it to be stationary. They didn't want it to leave and go somewhere, so they had to tie it up. Now, there are some times where we may be tied up in things in our lives that Christ is calling us from. What is it that you have found yourself tied up in? Was it the fact that you have been tied up into an emotional state that you need, that Christ is calling you from? Is it tied up in the familiarity you think with things that may have happened to you personally in your experience, or things that are going on right now in your life What are you tied up in that Christ is calling you from? Because Christ has need for you. Irrespective of what it is you're tied up in, Christ has need for you. So don't look at the fact that you're inexperienced. Don't look at the fact that you're young. Don't look at the fact that you've just been tied up into something. But Christ has need for you. And it's important that we as saints that understand that there are some things that we may find ourselves into, be it mentality, be it actions and this, that and the other, that we feel may be hindering us. But the moment Christ calls us into his need, understand he's aware of everything that you've been tied up into. Sometimes we can be like, ooh, and I know I was there. Like, how is God calling me into this position when I'm in this position in my life? Christ is trying to loosen you from those positions, loosen you from those thoughts, loosen you from those habits, loosen you from those ways, because he has need for you. Don't let those habits, don't let those things that are tying you feel that you're not adequate enough to be used by God. Now, the donkey wasn't tied up alone. Donkey was not alone. The donkey had the horse, or the colt, I'm going to call it, just for ease of use, I'm going to call it a donkey and a horse, if that's okay. In fact, I might switch from colt and donkey, but I understand I'm talking about these two animals. The donkey was not tied up alone. So there are times where we may find ourselves in situations that we're not in it alone. We find ourselves, or we may be with family members that are tied into the same thing. And what we want to happen is when you release me, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you release my family members as well. When you loosen me from the things that have happened in my forefathers or traditionally or whatever it may be, loosen me and loosen my family or my friends or my spouse. Lord, loose me as you have use for me. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that as we speak right now, that as he uses you, that anyone that's close to you, that you find that is in a situation that needs loosing, that God unties not only you, but whoever you is with. The donkey wasn't tied up alone. The donkey was tied up and was released based on Jesus' request and need. Jesus said to the disciples, go, get the donkey and the colt. And if someone says to you, what are you doing? He says, tell them the Lord has need of them. Hallelujah. We should be ready to serve. I read this in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we are created anew. So regardless of how you feel about yourself, regardless of how your family may think about you, regardless of how your friends may think about you, so understand this, when I release you, and this is the thing, we should be ready to serve, because when he says that, this scripture says, we can do, so we can do the good things he planned for us. That's what the releasing is for. I've loosened you so you can do the things that I've planned and I've created you for. So I remember there was a time in church, a church that I used to go to, and people were praying for this woman and her family. They were going through this situation in court, where it was quite a severe news at 10 type situation. She was going to go down for something that she kind of had nothing to do with, but it occurred in her home. And the whole church was praying for her. Praying for her family, praying for some months while the court case was going on. And as it came to the point where they were going to give a hearing, the final judgment, they said that she had she wasn't found guilty. And we celebrated as a church, we prayed, we rejoiced, and we glorified God. God released her, but after she was released from that situation, give a couple of months, we didn't see her in church no more. That's not what God is loosing you for. If God releases you from a situation, it's because he still wants to use you and give glory to himself. Do not take the blessing and make it your God. If God loosens you, it's because he has need for you. Even if there are situations where you find that, there are some things that God is not loosening, or I'm stilling, but he still has use for you. But we'll touch on that a little bit later. So Lazarus didn't get his healing and leave. In fact, a day before this occurs. So in John, you read it in John 12, which I won't read. You can go in and read it yourself when you have time. Jesus has just recently healed or brought Lazarus from the dead. He brought Lazarus from the dead. Now, this was a huge thing, because it says in John 12 that this gathering of, so they were gathering, thousands of people were coming to Jerusalem because of the fact that in a couple of days or a week later they were going to celebrate the Passover. And then they had but they were also gathering to see Jesus, and as I said, they were waiting for this great king to relieve them and alleviate them from the hold of the Romans. But they were also gathering to see Lazarus. They were gathering because this was the man that Christ rose from the dead. Now, it says that because Christ made Lazarus rise from the dead, many were gathering to see him. And because of what Christ had done, because they could see that he was alive, they said, wait up, hundreds of people started turning to Christ. If he's able to raise this man Lazarus from the dead, he must be the Son of God. And many were coming to Christ, so much so that the chief priests were actually plotting not only to kill Christ, but plotting to kill Lazarus. They were plotting to kill Lazarus because of what has happened. Listen, don't let your experience go untold, because your experience may be the one thing that encourages someone to turn to Christ. Let's not sit in it. Let's continue to serve. Let's continue to give his word. And what we see in Romans 8:28 says, all things work out for good for those that love the Lord. All things work out for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So if you want your things to work out, if you want all things to work out, understand that you are called for a purpose. And it's in your purpose that your all things work out. So let's not deviate from having or living out our lives in a purpose for Christ. Now, there are some situations we find ourselves in that only Christ can get us out. The men came and they asked and they said, they started tired of the colt and the donkey. And then the men asked them, what are you doing? Where are you going with the horses? Why are you untying them? And when we do things off our own back, we may find resistance. We may find challenges. But the moment they said, the Lord has need of them, let's say in Jesus' name, Christ was the catalyst to those men getting the situation done. When they tried it by themselves, they found resistance. They brought Christ into the situation. Everything had changed. Let's bring Christ into every situation that we find ourselves in. Let's bring Jesus's name in every situation that we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name, we can say you are saved. In Jesus' name, you are healed. In Jesus' name, you are made strong. In Jesus' name, you are forgiven. In Jesus' name, you are set free. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. The name that Christ has given to us, the name that Christ has given to you. Understand that demons tremble. When Jesus went to go and see the man that was bound up by legions of demons, he didn't have to convince the demons of who he was. Understand that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And you, if you're submitted to him, have the authority to use that name. But be careful. We know what happened with the seven sons of Sceva. Be careful. Understand. Make sure you're correctly placed in Christ. Because, to be honest, there's no authority in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the person of Jesus Christ that gives his name authority. Because there are other people around the world called Jesus, but yet they're not doing what Jesus did. So in the same way that when Anna's having issues, my wife is having issues with, or my mum even sometimes has issues with my daughter, Azaria, they will say, I'm going to call your dad. At that point, something triggers in her brain. She says, no, I don't want that smoke. I don't want that. She'll say, no, no, no. Don't call daddy. In the same way, and I hear this, she doesn't even, I don't need to be in the room for her to understand what that means. In the same way, Jesus Christ, once you have, and once you're placed correctly in him, you don't have to, he doesn't have to, you just call his name. Based on the power of the Holy Spirit now being and living and residing in you, and it shall be done. So long as it's his will. Now the donkey was released to carry out Christ, to carry Christ without any acknowledgement but from Christ. And that's a key point. Now, we say that the donkey was released to carry Christ. Sorry, it says that the donkey was released to carry Christ. Donkey and the colt. In fact, nobody was actually thinking about the donkey. All the disciples and whoever else was with Jesus, they were all on their way to Jerusalem. Their intention was to leave wherever they were coming from and head direct to Jerusalem. Nobody thought about the donkey. But Christ did. Christ had said, and we know it is to fulfill the scriptures where it says that he shall ride on a donkey into Jerusalem. We know that. But they didn't know that. So when you are not acknowledged, sometimes you may not feel like you're acknowledged in church. Sometimes you may not feel like you're acknowledged at work. Sometimes you may not feel like you're acknowledged in your home, with your friends, with your wife or your husband. Sometimes you may not feel like you're acknowledged by your pastor or by your elders or by whoever it is in your team in church. Understand that Christ is thinking of you when nobody else is. Understand that Christ wants to applaud you, and this is why I wrote this, came to this scripture here in Zephaniah 3:17. I'll read, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about whoever else is speaking in this church. Don't worry about any other man. Who would you prefer to rejoice over you, myself or the pastors or the other elders, or would you prefer God to rejoice over you? With joy, it says, he will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. Hallelujah. Some of us have a bag load, a house load. I mean, I've got tons that I would, that I'm completely ashamed of. That he says, I won't mention them no more. I think that's something that we can all learn from this. We shouldn't mention them. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Listen, let's not go for the hand claps. Let's not do what we're doing to be praised. Let's understand that we're doing this knowing that Christ is in heaven and God is in heaven rejoicing over you with a loud shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for calling us right now. Now, think about this. Had the donkey and the colt had gone into Jerusalem with Christ sitting on them and had been lapping up the palms that were being thrown down, the clothes that were being thrown down on top of them, and the shouts of joy and jubilation, had the donkey had been and the colt had been thinking that's all about them, they would have been very foolish to do so. Because at the end of the day, it had nothing to do with them. And understand, in the same way, what we're doing in Christ or in the church has nothing to do with us. We should be pointing all glory and praise to Christ. We're just here to elevate Christ in the same way that donkey did, same way that the colt did. Understand that us as speakers, those that are pastors and ministers, should not be fooled and think that the praise and the glory is about them. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with Christ. And we should do well to try and make sure that our minds are always set on Christ and not ourselves. The disciples acted in faith. Now, Christ had given the disciples the instruction, when they weren't thinking about it, to go and find these donkeys. Christ gave them the instruction to go and find something that they had no idea of, they had no plans for, they weren't even thinking of. So the disciples had to act in faith. God's omniscience, Him all-knowing power, was prevalent here. It told them, go and do something that I know you're not clear about. You have no knowledge of, that you're not aware of, that we didn't plan for. Sometimes we've got to act instantaneously based on what Christ says. And there's a lot of us that sometimes we need to kind of calculate, understand, give me reason. There was no reason, there was no questioning, there was just, this is what the word says, I'm going to do it. I don't quite fully understand it right now, but I will do it. Let's submit to His will, saints. Let's submit in the same way that they did. The other thing was that we see that they spoke to the men. And they said, the Lord has need for them. And it kind of made me start thinking that if we ask according to God's will, whatever it is that we are looking for or we want, it will be released. Ask according to His will. They didn't go there and ask Him for something that wasn't there. He knew that something was the donkeys and the colts were there, and what they just reiterated what they had heard from Christ and told the men. And at that point, they released it. We should ask according to His will. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. And this is what gives us confidence. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Hallelujah. Ask according to His will. And, you know, I'll tell the story. I went to McDonald's recently. I don't go very often. Well, for the breakfast, that is. So I went to McDonald's recently. I have been for God knows how long. So I forgot what you could even order in the morning. So for me to be able to order something, I needed to get familiar with the menu. Now, for me to be able to order something, I had to become familiar with the menu. I couldn't go to McDonald's and ask them for a car. I can't go to McDonald's and ask them for a laptop. I couldn't go to McDonald's and ask them for a light bulb. Understand, there's a menu. In fact, if I ask them for any of those things, they'll be looking at me like, are you okay, sir? In the same way, I had to become familiar with the menu to understand what it was that was available in the morning. It's the same way you have to become familiar with Christ and his word for you to be able to ask for the things and know that you can receive it. I became familiar with the menu quite quickly. I asked the little machine. I couldn't even see who I was talking to. I asked because obviously we're doing lockdown, so we have to do drive-through. Spoke to someone I could not see. Asked them for what I wanted. Paid for it. And then I received what it was I asked for. In the same way, saints, you need to become familiar with your word so that you can ask for the correct things and know that you will receive it. And if you don't receive it immediately, like what happens in McDonald's occasionally, they may tell you to, you know, park up to the side. It's because it's being prepared. So in some cases, your request needs preparing. Or in some cases, for your request, you need to be prepared. So let's trust and have faith and ask according to his will. The message is not from me, it's from Christ. They gave a message from Christ. They said, the Lord said, we have need from them. So when I come here and give message, when Pastor Dennis, when Sam, when whoever it is, Milton, Tunde, Aaron, whatever speaker it may be, Stella, in Jesus' name, whenever they come and give a message, understand it is the word of God. The Bible says I should not worry what to say, that when I open up my mouth, the Holy Spirit shall speak through me. So when you come and when you come here on a Sunday, be prepared to receive from Christ, because it's the word of God that we're given, not my opinion. They all praise God, and this is one thing I commend the Jews for, which they did. They all praise God before he delivered them. So while he was coming into Jerusalem, they were shouting and glorifying him and this, that, and the other, and giving him cheers, and they praised him prior to receiving deliverance from the Romans. That's something that we should definitely aspire to. We should praise God prior to receiving the thing that we're praising him for. Glorify God prior. Glorify God because he is Christ, because he is God, because he is holy, because he is a deliverer, because he is a healer, because he is merciful. Praise him even though you haven't received what it is that you're praying for. The Jews acknowledged his kingship. So they called him the king. And by doing, and they actually physically done this by placing clothes down on the donkey and on the floor where they both would tread. So, and we find this in the book of Kings. They quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, Jehu is king. So here we see that it's something that they did for kings. This placing of the clothes on the donkey and on the floor, that's what they did for kings. So the Jews acknowledged his kingship, and we should do the same. Understanding that Christ is king over our lives, what are we ready to put down on the floor to acknowledge that Christ is king? They acknowledged his victory as a conquering king by laying down the palms. Now, in ancient times, palm branches were symbolized for goodness, well-being, grandeur, and steadfastness and victory. Now, actually, in history, what you'll find, and I was going to show you a picture of this, but there are some historic coins that have an image of palms on it. They would use palms on coins. And these palms, as I said, was to denote victory, grandeur. We also find the palms in the temple of God. 1 Kings 6 and 29 says, on the walls all around the temple, in both the inner and the other rooms, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. So here we even find in the temple of God, there was palm trees, again, signifying victory. Let's understand that Christ is king and victorious. They also understood his saving power as they sang Hosanna. And Hosanna is a Hebrew word, or I suppose I was speaking Aramaic at the time. So is a Hebrew or Amoraic word that means save, rescue, and savior. So they were acknowledging that here is Christ the King, the victorious one, coming to save us. And we should do the same. So when we shout out Hosanna, when we sing that song Hosanna, understand we are saying Christ the King is our savior, or he's here to rescue us. And in Jesus' name, I pray that everything that we may have been tied to right now, we're loosened from, and Christ rescues us. If it be a mentality, if it be an action, I declare in Jesus' name that we're all loosed. Thing is, they held him as king to save them, but not from their sins. They held Jesus as king, they acknowledged his kingship, his victory, and the fact that he's a savior, but it was to do with them. They celebrated the fact that this was going to occur because of he was going to save them from the Roman rule. And how they were wrong, because the following thing he does is he goes into the temple and mashes up the place because of what they've done in there. Obviously, they made it a den of thieves. They were selling and buying and made it a marketplace. And I say this to say, we can do the same thing sometimes. We can get to a point where we start asking Christ to be our genie. What happens when Christ wants to deal with you before he gives you what it is that you're praying for? What happens when Christ wants to, deal with a spiritual situation, but you're praying for the physical thing to change? We're praying for a job. We're praying for God to heal us. We're praying for God to transform our husband or our wife. We're praying for a wife, for a husband. We're asking God to transform our jobs and all of these things. When God is saying, we'll come to that, but I need to deal with this issue, this spiritual situation. We're praying for physical things when Christ is trying to do a spiritual thing in our lives. And in this situation, we find, and I've done the same, and where you can keep banging on the wall and Christ is not there. You can keep praying for something, and Christ is saying, I want you to pray for this. I want to pray for yourself. Stop praying for somebody else. Stop praying for this thing. Once I'm able through the Holy Spirit to transform this in you, I know that I'm able to release this for you. And as we end this message, I want you to take away these points. Jesus has called you for a purpose. In Jesus' name, you are loosed. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name, as Christ released and loosened the colt and the donkey, I pray that every situation that you may find yourself in now to come, you are loosed from in Jesus' name. Whatever you may find you or your family in, or you and your friends in, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you are loosed right now. Ensure your will lines up with his will. We should get familiar with the menu. Get familiar with the menu, man. Don't allow your circumstances to control your praise. In the same way that the Jews praised prior to them receiving, even though when they when they got to the point where they realized they weren't going to receive what it was, they started shouting out, crucify him. But what I commend them for was that they actually praised him prior to. Let's praise God prior to what we're receiving and irrespective of the outcome. Christ is your King, your Savior, and your Victor. Give Jesus all the glory. Don't take it for yourself. Speakers, pastors, myself, I will not take it for myself. I will elevate Christ above all things. I want him to give me, I want to give him joy. I want to hear the fact that, and know the fact that he's rejoicing over me, and the loud shout that is going on in heaven is for me, regardless of the loud shout that I may not hear from you. I should continue to go. So I want to close this session by praying. Father God, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. We thank you for the fact that we have received this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever people are watching this. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that that word may permeate and rest in our hearts, that Father Lord, it may transform our ways of thinking, transform our lives today. That as we acknowledge Palm Sunday, Father Lord, that we may acknowledge you, that we may surrender before you, that we may be ready to serve you, that we may be ready to be released and loosened from the things that may cause us to be distracted or held back, be our own thoughts, be our own ways, or even other people, Father Lord, so that we can glorify you. Help us to understand that there is a purpose. You've called us according to your purpose, and that all things will work out when we fall in line with your purpose. I pray right now that, Father Lord, that there is a newness of purpose in our lives, that we can celebrate and we can rejoice that we are actually being used by our Father in heaven, that he's called us and made us members of his family. We thank you for your love in our lives. We thank you for the joy that you have over our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.